When a king is shown receiving tribute, or another scene that shows the submission of a subject ruler, or the king in some administrative role, he is usually depicted as seated on a throne, and his feet rest comfortably on an elaborate footstool. Everyone else in the room stands or bows or grovels. But the details of this royal furniture resemble the ivories that were found at Nimrud that we discussed earlier. So we can also imagine that these would have been very brightly painted. In addition to the distinctions in clothing and posture, the king is also set apart because attendants stand behind him, wielding fly whisks or even fans to ensure that the king is kept comfortable. So he is really the center of all attention. The rest of the court, or anyone else in the scene, is also given a significant amount of attention to their clothing, their appearance. They are always less ornate than the king. When we see Assyrians who are beardless, we often suspect that they might be the eunuchs who filled the court administration. Non-Assyrians have a variety of costumes. They have shorter garments, different material, their hair is shorter, straighter. But there's an interest in setting out who is present and what their origin is. Rulers in Mesopotamia had long depicted themselves as physically strong. The Assyrian kings continued this tradition. There's a lot of emphasis on the muscles, especially the bicep and calf muscles. And you recall that Naram-Sin was the first ruler who really emphasized himself as being very well developed physically, and this emphasized his strength. Ashurbanipal, who ruled from 668 to 627, showed himself in several hunt scenes, and so we'll use his reliefs as an example of the meaning of these many lion hunts that we see. Lions and lionesses were brought to his hunting grounds on his palace and then released in a hunt. The king chases them down in chariots, on horseback, on foot. He uses a variety of weapons, a bow and arrow, a spear. Sometimes he even grapples with the lion in hand-to-paw combat. The Assyrian artists focus on the strength of these animals, as well as graphic illustrations of their dying moments. Blood gushes from the wounds and the mouths of the lions and lionesses who have been hit with many arrows. Some of them are paralyzed, so they're dragging their hindquarters behind them. And in a sense, we feel that the artists convey more respect for the animals as foes than they did for their human enemies. The king, in contrast, shows no emotion, neither pride nor fear. He's not exhausted. And his expressionless face shows a very cool contrast with the animals and the humans, who are being slaughtered either in lion hunts or in battle scenes. And this reinforces the strength and the superhuman power of the king. He's never flustered by any enemy. After the lion hunt, the slain animals were given as offerings, usually to the god Ashur. And so the lion hunt provides an example of the king's religious respect, and also his practical skill in hunting. There are not just scenes of animals being killed, but of course, war was a very common scene in the art as well as in the royal texts. The reliefs of the palace of Sennacherib, who is the son of Sargon II, at Nineveh, show the siege of Lachish in southern Judah in 701 BC.